to just a question to get us started is, imagine you got to speak to the person of your dreams, okay? So who is this person? Just imagine them. This person that you've always wanted to talk to. Maybe if you're a middle school girl, it's the Jonas Brothers. I confess that the Jonas Brothers were my top-rated artists that I listened to in the decade on my Spotify premium account. So that's for me too. Maybe it's a crush you've wanted to talk to for a long time, a politician, or maybe Elon Musk, and you're wondering, why in the world would you make a truck that just looks like an angry triangle? So let's say that this day, it finally comes. You're face-to-face with this person, and you finally get the moment to talk to them. You got a brief moment. And so now the question now is, what would you say? And another question is not only, what are you gonna say, but how are you gonna say it? I imagine you'd wanna try to impress them, maybe ask for something, and maybe try to do these things at the same time with the same words. This might be the only chance you would have to talk to this person and to make your case known. Well, when it comes to God, we can praise our God that he is not like this, that we don't just talk to God for a brief, small moment, but instead, he has set up a way for us to communicate with him, to make our requests, to talk to him, to speak with him often and continually. And this mechanism that he has set up is called prayer. Nathan wonderfully taught us last week that prayer, just the definition that he gave, is humbly coming before God to communicate and commune with him. So we are to communicate and spend time with God in prayer, and we are to do this humbly. He also just gave us a few brief thoughts on why we pray, and just specifically labeling how we to obey God, to know God, and to love others, being some of those main reasons, not all the reasons that we pray, but just the ones that we spent time in last week. So we're going to continue to study prayer this morning, specifically thinking about how we pray. Now you might wonder, why would we even spend time thinking about how we pray? Like, isn't it just simple, like, yo God, here's my request, just something real simple. And the truth is, it is simple. It's not some complex thing that just requires a ton and tons of thought. But at the same time, there are many prayers that are documented in Scripture, and there's many things in Scripture that God wants us to know when it comes to prayer. So there's things that we can pray well, and there's also some things that might not be the best that we pray. And so we're going to be studying how we pray through 3 points this morning. First, Jesus' teaching on prayer. Second, praying Scripture through Paul's letters. And third, we're going to be looking at some hindrances that could prevent us from praying. So first, Jesus' teaching on prayer. If you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open up to the book of Matthew. We're going to be looking at chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. It's also in your handout. Did anyone not get a handout? Okay, everyone's good. Okay, so just a little bit of context before we drop ourselves into this passage is Jesus is giving instructions to crowds. His disciples are also there. And in these verses, he teaches those crowds and also us today what our prayer should look like, what they should contain, and he also gives a model for prayer. And so we're going to pick up with that in verses 5 through 8 first, and then move on to 9 through 13. I'm just going to read it out loud. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they know that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So in this passage, it's important to note that Jesus is bucking against a problem of the day. Religious leaders are praying to boost their image amongst others. We see this in verse 5. They are prideful. And this problem is not just unique to the day that Jesus was speaking in, but it's also in all days amongst all peoples, having tried in prayer. Jesus in this passage is really just highlighting the posture and attitudes of the people's hearts when it comes to prayer. Specifically, he says that he labels people as hypocrites in this passage, and he's really getting at their motivation for prayer to be to improve their image before others. So they're using prayer as a mechanism to basically just be seen as like super Christians or whatever. And also the content of their prayer is focused on things that are prideful. Now, so we could fall to one extreme when it comes to pride and prayer by praying so that we can gain or boost our image amongst others. But pride could also come in our prayers by preventing us from praying because we could be so worried about what other people think of us that it drives us to not pray. And so the really important thing we need to get from this passage is that when it comes to prayer, we need to be humble for prayer. We need to humbly depend upon God for when we pray. Prayer is a privilege and is not something that we should take up with in order to build our own image or to be proudful when it comes to prayer. There's more we could pull out of this passage, but we're just going to keep going ahead, and we're going to look at the next set of verses after those verses, verses 9 through 13. And in your handout, I split up these verses throughout the handout. So I'm just going to read it real quick, then we'll come to it. Pray, then, like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at that phrase, pray then like this. So just first, I want you to notice the word like in that little phrase. This shows us that this passage is meant to be a model and a teaching for what prayer should be like. And that is the purpose of these verses. In addition, the word prayer is used as an implicit command. It does not say, if you pray. And even some translations say, when you pray. So it really highlights that prayer is to be a regular part of the Christian life. This is why Paul in Romans says that we should be praying without ceasing. Ceasing meaning that we depend upon God, we pray repeatedly and often, and we are just constantly in a state of prayer. So we see that the Christian life is really a praying life. It's not optional. We are to continually be in a state of prayer. Moving on, I really see three groupings in this passage, and I want us to put the rest of this passage underneath these three groupings to help us as we go forward and study it. So these are just going to be the address, the first grouping, petitions for his glory, and petitions for his glory in our lives. And those are reflected in your handout as well. So just starting by looking at the address. So we see the word used our in this passage. Jesus does not use the word my or your. He uses the word our. This shows us that the corporate nature of the Christian, this shows us the corporate nature of the Christian life. The Christian life is not meant to be one that is just lived alone or on our own, but specifically in community, and that community being in primarily the local church, as seen literally everywhere in the New Testament. Next, the word Father. And this is just such a glorious word that is in this address. The word Father shows us that those who were once separated from Christ are now considered not to just be made right with Christ if they're Christians, but instead, and even more so than that, to actually be considered sons or daughters of God. So that those who were once separated from God because of their sin are now considered to be sons and daughters of God. And who else is referred to as son of God? Yeah, basic Sunday school answer, right? Jesus. So this shows us that the aspect of sonship that Jesus has with the Father, that those who are in Christ are included in that, and they can pray to God and have a relationship with God as him being Father. And just building on this address, building on the truth of our God, our Father, the phrase in heaven is there. And this teaches us that God is the one who created all things. He is over all things. The one who made you, made the universe, and those in Christ can consider him to be a father. So him to whom which we pray when we pray is God the Father. This should drive our prayers in that we should be driving to our knees and praying often because God considers his people to be their father. So just that mere truth should bring us to our knees to pray continually and to know that God is a personal God who is considered to be a father. So moving through, we're going to look at petitions for his glory. And I believe in this passage there are six main petitions. So just breaking up, three in the first section, three in the next section. The first petition, hallowed be your name. Hallowed just simply means that his name and God himself is set apart from all things. Scripture uses the word holy a lot of times to get at that idea that God is set apart from man and everything else in creation. Jesus instructs us to pray to this God and let our prayers be filled with this idea that God is holy. He deserves praise. He is separate. He is not like the rest of creation, and he is the creator. One theologian put this, that whenever we think of God and pray, we should never speak or think of him without the highest reverence. So let your prayers be filled with that truth. Our second petition, your kingdom come. This petition teaches us that God is king. He has a kingdom. And just like any king, God rules and reigns in his place over his kingdom. All people are to live in submission to this king, but yet no one has lived in submission to this king except for Jesus Christ. This is a reminder that one day there will be this kingdom that will be fully and gloriously on display where sin is no longer a part of his kingdom. And so we, those who are in Christ, are to long for that day and let our prayers be filled with this hope of the coming kingdom where sin is removed completely. So ask God for his kingdom to come and let your prayers be saturated with this truth. Our third petition we see in this passage is your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So looking at this, he uses the word will. I believe in this passage, the will of God is not so much concerned with God's secret will or unrevealed will, but specifically the will of God being that all creation and everything will be lived out in accordance to him. All things will obey God. One commentator put this idea into these words, prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will on God or for bending his will to ours, but the prescribed way of subordinating our will to his. It is by prayer that we seek God's will, embrace it, and align ourselves with it. Every true prayer is a variation on the theme, your will be done. So this, I admit, this can be a tough pill to swallow. Often when it comes to prayer, we want our prayers to be saturated with our will be done, what our sinful flesh wants, and not what God wants. Yet God has something far greater planned than for him just to be a personal genie answering our every wish and our prayers. Instead, God gives the gift of himself. And so when we actually pray for God's will to be done and not our own, as another common theologian put it, we renounce the desires of our flesh and that the Spirit may govern our hearts while inwardly teaching us to learn to love the things that please God and to hate the things that displease God. We pray for his will to be done on earth, for he is worthy for all things to be done in response to him. And this is our supreme delight. So another really great way to pray God's will is to think about praying Scripture and to focus on praying Scripture, because this is what is in line with God's will. So if we pray Scripture, we will be praying the will of God. And so we're going to be looking at this in our second point, but we're just going to continue to work through this part of our passage. But I wanted to call that out just because that is a very natural and good application for how we can pray out God's will. Moving on to our next section, petitions for his glory in our lives. This brings us to our fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. So this petition teaches us that, yes, we should be praying for our physical needs. But notice that Jesus doesn't say, pray for a nice steak dinner. He instead says, pray for daily bread. So ordinary bread is what he commands people to pray for, getting at our needs, not our greeds. So this serves as a reminder, too, that we are actually dependent upon God for all things in our life, even the things that we might not remember that we are dependent upon him in our rich culture that we live in. We are to pray for our needs, not our greeds. Just a good question to ask ourselves is, if all of our prayers were to come true tomorrow, what would happen? Would you have all straight A's? Would you have a good paying job out of school? Would the Razorbacks win all their football games? Would people be saved? Would people be exploding with encouragement? And would you see others value the words of God more? Notice that of all these petitions, really just one of the six is really just focused on our own needs in our life. And so while we should be praying for our needs, if the only thing we ever do is pray for our needs and our wants in our prayers, then we're really missing out on all the glorious truths and all the glorious things that Christians are called to pray for. If that is true of you, then your prayers are too small. And let this time just be a helpful way to think about other categories of things that we can pray for besides just our needs. And yes, we should be praying for our needs. That's literally what this passage teaches. So don't think that you don't need to pray for your needs. I think it can be a humbling thing to have to pray for our needs. But let your prayers include so much more than just your needs. Yet we see that in this passage, that God is not only concerned about our physical needs, but one need that is even greater than that, being a spiritual need. This moves us to our next petition, and forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So notice that Jesus uses this phrase, forgive us of our debts. Well, why would Jesus even say this? Well, he says this because all men everywhere are sinners. See, man had taken what God had designed for his glory and for man to enjoy, and man took what he designed and made it for their own glory and for their own praise. Man wanted to be separate from God, receiving all honor and glory that God was supposed to receive. Man disobeyed God and came against him, this being sin. Because of this, there is an eternal separation between God and man, and that is sin. Yet, and because of this, God will punish sin and punish mankind eternally, those who sin against him. But yet, God himself sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who was fully God and took on flesh and became fully man too. And he lived the perfect life, giving all honor and glory to God the Father instead of himself. He gave it to the Father, which he deserved. And because of this, he was without sin. He then died a death on a cross, and then he resurrected from the grave, 3 days later, thereby conquering sin and its consequences, death. Therefore, if anyone were to respond to this message through turning from their sin and trusting in Christ, then God will view them with the same righteousness that Christ had, giving all glory and honor back to the Father in their lives. This can be true for you. Yet, we see that the reality of praying to God as Father is only true for those who are in Christ, those who have turned from their sin and trusting in Christ, who can participate in this glorious relationship between God the Father in their lives. And so just my question for you is, have you trusted in Christ? Have you turned from your sins? And if you have not, I press on you to do that, because you need to do that. Please do that today, and you can do that right now by trusting in Christ and turning from your sins. You don't need to talk to anyone to do that, but if you would like and have more questions, then please come and ask me, and I will be happy to talk with you and help you think about what it looks like to trust in Christ and to turn from your sins so that you can be made right with God. And yet, when it comes to praying this, forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, we see this idea in here, and we learn that Christians are to see that they are continually dependent upon God's grace for forgiveness of sins. So a misunderstanding of this text could be as Jesus teaching Christians that they must always ask for God and for forgiveness anytime they sin to be forgiven for their sins. And the answer to that question is no. A Christian will sin, and maybe even unknowingly sin, they will unknowingly sin, against God. And so it's important to remember that sin was finally paid for and defeated in the work of Christ. But yet, Christians are to ask for forgiveness of sins and ask for the restoration of their personal fellowship with God whenever they do sin against this God. They're to be confident that Christ has already paid for those sins, and those sins are already forgiven. And when it comes to forgiving our debtors, as the text says, the point is that Christians, those forgiven our God, are also ought to be eager to forgive the sins of others, even if they wrong you, even if others wrong you, and don't even ask you or apologize and ask for forgiveness. We are to be forgiving others who do sin against us and hurt us. Moving on to our sixth and last petition, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Everyone is at war in this life. Christians are on war against sin and evil of this world. But thankfully for the Christian, that this war has already been won and it's been defeated. Sin is defeated. Remember that there is a war for your soul. It's important to know that God doesn't tempt us in this life, but he will lead us into circumstances that test our character and refine our character and grow our dependence upon him. And so, fellow Christian, whenever you are being tempted and are in a place that's tough, ask God for deliverance for that temptation. And then go to the Lord and fill your minds with scripture. Don't just pray to God and treat him like, okay, I'm being tempted right now. Just like, get me out of this. Like, that is true. You need to be praying. But also, seek to remove yourself in those circumstances. So now that we've considered scripture where Jesus has taught us on prayer, we're going to look at other scriptures and other models for prayer. And that brings us to our second point, praying scripture with Paul. So Jesus is not the only one who modeled for us prayers. Many passages in the Bible we see models of prayers, and there's many more than just the ones of Paul, which we're going to be looking at this morning. Specifically in the Psalms, we see prayers of lament, confessions of praises, and those are all prayers that we seek to regularly participate in corporately in the main service and also are modeled for us. So we can't touch on everything about how do we pray in this time, so look at those prayers that are done in the service and look at how they're done, look at the content in them, and I would encourage you to seek to model those prayers in your own life. Even the pastoral prayer would be a great exercise for someone to model their prayers after. So specifically, we're going to be looking at Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and then actually at the end of this time, we're going to be doing a case study in our discussion group. So this is meant to be a time to help you and prepare you for that time. And so I'm just going to read it. I wrote it on the board here. You probably can't even see it because I'm in the way. So just Philippians 1, 9 through 11. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So as I mentioned earlier with praying the will of God, we're going to be looking at how we pray scripture about praying the will of God. So just, what are some things that Paul prays for in this passage? And this is just meant to help see how this is done. So what are some things Paul prays for in this passage?
Love may abound and more and more.
Yeah. What else do we see?
Knowledge and discernment.
Yeah. That's great.
Aligning themselves with the will of God.
Yes.
Approving what is excellent.
Approve what is excellent. Okay. What else do we see?
Pure and blameless.
Yeah. there's a lot in here. Like, there's so much in here. So just a way that we pray scripture, there's more in here that we could pull apart. But just really quick, I'm just going to walk through how to pray. Like, we learned earlier that prayer and everything, this is a corporate reality of the Christian life. And so just really quickly, a way that I could pray scripture is I'm just going to use this member directory. This is a really helpful way to pray for others in our body. And if you would like one of these and you're a member, just come and ask me and I can get you a member directory. But in here on the first page, there's just a prayer guide. So just a way and suggestions for how you could pray through this directory. And so today is, I think it's December 15th. So it says to pray on page probably 15. Okay, so I'm just going to, like, we're just going to pray right now. So, like, the first person on here is Molly. So, Father, we just pray for Molly that her love may abound more and more for you. And then just the next person on here, Connor Reese, we pray that Connor would grow in knowledge and discernment, being able to approve what is excellent, and so that he may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Zach's next on this. So we just pray that he'd be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. So that is just simply how we pray scripture and pray scriptural prayers for others. And also in this member directory, in the back of it, there's many scriptures and suggested scriptures on things you could pray for people. Like, there's literally pages of them. So this would be a really fruitful exercise if you're a Christian to be, yes, and just for anyone, but specifically if you're a Christian, yes. To be praying for those who, I meant to say member of this body. If you're a member of this body, just to look through this and just like a helpful way to pray for members of our body. And then these are just scriptural passages that you could just be praying for those. And so we're going to be doing that in our discussion groups today. And even on the back of the handout, another helpful exercise, I included passages that are Paul's prayers. So it could be also fruitful and helpful to maybe over break, if you have more time to spend more time in scripture than you normally would during the school year, just to go through some of those prayers and to look at what Paul prays for people. That would be a fruitful exercise. And also that book, Praying with Paul D.A. Carson. Those are the passages that he works through when it comes to praying with Paul and praying scriptural passages. And also, those are not all the prayers of Paul, but just are some really big main ones. So this brings us to our third point, hindrances to prayer. So I think it would just be helpful for us to spend a minute just considering what are some things that can prevent us from praying. So just our first hindrance that I have is actually a big hindrance for prayer is going to be yourself. It's you. You're going to be tempted to think at times, I don't need to pray, or I don't really need God for this. Or even, I'll just pray later. Friends, don't fall victim to this. God has instituted prayer as a means for him to complete his will on earth. Remember that prayer is responding in faith to what God has done. Prayer is God bending down his ear to his people, and you're to utilize this instrument that God has set up for you to pray and depend upon him. So don't be prayerless, but pray. And in addition to that, God never tells people that they've prayed too much or they've prayed for too long. Jesus says in Matthew, in chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. So keep on going, keep persevering, and don't lose heart when it comes to prayer. Another hindrance to preventing us from prayer is just not having a plan to pray. So I think whenever Christians don't pray, it's often because they don't have a plan to pray. So just a good question to ask would be, do you have a time that you dedicate to spending time in prayer? Jesus regularly in the Gospels goes off alone and secludes himself to spend time in private prayer. The extreme majority of prayers that are to be done in a Christian's life is to be done privately on their own. So do you have a time to pray? A really easy way that you could find time to pray is praying before you read the Bible, praying scripture as we just looked at, and then also praying after you read the Bible. In addition to this, you could set maybe a timer on your phone, maybe for 10 or 15 minutes, just to spend time going to the Lord in prayer. Also, just take advantage of dead times during the day. Maybe if you're driving to work or driving around or just walking to class. Just there's so many great opportunities and easy ways that we can make prayer a part of our regular life to pray continually. A third hindrance is just combating mental drift. I'm sure we've all have had prayers where we start off praying like, Father, thank you for letting me pray, being in your midst. I have my university perspectives homework that I haven't done. I can't go to Mullins because there's graffiti on the wall. I'm just going to go to bed. And then you fall asleep. I think that happens too often. And so just a really simple way, a suggestion, would be maybe just to speak your prayers out loud, to give energy and mental thought to your prayers. Because you just stay up here, it can be cluttered. And sometimes it's really good to pray in your head, like maybe on your walk to class if you can't, like, or just like some random time during the day where it's inappropriate to pray. Yes, pray in your head. But take advantage of praying with your mouth and potentially even writing out prayers in a prayer journal just to force you to articulate your words. A fourth hindrance is not feeling worthy to pray. If you don't feel like you're worthy to pray, that's actually true because you aren't worthy enough to pray. See, the beautiful thing about the Christian life and just Christianity and God is that God, those who were separated from God and are unworthy to pray, can be made worthy to pray by Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness and conquering over death. So if you feel unworthy to pray, then hold on to Christ's righteousness and not your righteousness when it comes to pray. So don't feel like that you're too unworthy to come to God to pray, because Christ was righteous for you and his righteousness is transposed upon you. So remember that, Christian. And just if you're not a Christian or if you're struggling with just that idea and you feel too unworthy to come to Christ, just remember that nobody is worthy to come to Christ. And yet, the thing that makes this so beautiful is that God planned to save his people before he created the earth, and he foreknew that they would all rebel against him, and yet he still made them and sent his son to die for them. So, don't let your unworthiness stop you. Trust in Christ. Turn from your sins. And so, friends, when it comes to prayer and talking to God, the question is no longer, what are you going to pray? Why pray or how pray? But it's going to be, are you going to pray? Let me just pray for us real quick, and then we'll end our time together. Father, we praise you just for being God, for you deserve all praise and deserve all our honor and glory. Lord, we just pray that this time would be helpful for us in just thinking about the things that we should be praying and ought to be praying, Father, to just praise your name and to greater and leading to greater enjoyment of you. Lord, we just pray these things in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. And it is in his name we pray these things. Amen.